Because if we live purely from the Western egoic side, look at me, I'm great, I'm amazing. You become president of the United States. Hey, welcome to Flip It and Rebuild It. This is the podcast that will help you see life from a new perspective, so you can prepare for when life knocks you on your butt without warning. I'm Stephen Webb, and ending up paralyzed at 18, going bankrupt, losing nearly everything, more heartbreaks than I can count. I know how hard it is to turn your life around. Let us help you find inner peace and flip it around when your life is hectic and feels impossible for you. And welcome my awesome co-host, Susan Jackman.
Aw, thanks, Stephen. And I'm here to share with you how I have learned to flip that story in my head and use every experience to grow and rebuild my life the way that I want it to be. I've experienced a lot of life and learned many valuable lessons. I do believe I can help someone learn from what I've been through, from how I've overcome childhood traumas to learning to find the silver lining and lesson in every situation, no matter how negative the situation seems to be. It's about finding your peace of mind when life goes to shit, as it often does.
So what's been happening with you this week?
This week, I'm almost finished moving into the house. Just got like one more trip maybe. And my daughter came home after being gone for a month. So that's really awesome.
I know, that's the main thing I was thinking about, Bella coming home.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And she's just come into the house, hasn't she? First time she's seen it.
Yep.
What did she think?
She liked it. She liked it a lot. Yeah,
I bet. So this week we're talking about overcoming fear.
Yes.
So can you think of when you had to really dig deep and overcome fear in your life?
You know, honestly, I think for the most part, I haven't been very good at that in the past, like digging deep and facing fears. But then I kind of decided to do it in kind of a smaller way because... All right. So one of the biggest challenges that I have faced in my life has been finding and growing my self-confidence. It was so bad, I could have been diagnosed with social anxiety. Even though it was something I always wanted, I could never find it or fake it or like talk myself into it. And what finally helped me to overcome this was facing fears, many, many fears. And the more I face, the more confident I feel inside. And it started with getting on stage at a dive bar and singing and playing guitar at an open mic. The only reason I did it was just to face the fear because when I was little, when I'd get on stage, I'd get nervous. And I'd shake. My body would shake. My voice would shake. And so I always knew I wanted to do this. And it helped me a lot because I had a supportive friend who was encouraging me. And, you know, when I was really young, I loved to perform. So... you know, I really, really wanted to do this. So I was nervous the first several times I did it. And the thing is it got easier. It got easier and easier. And, you know, really that was just the beginning because it was getting on stage and making a total fool of myself to the point where sometimes I'd go out in the parking lot and just cry because I was just like, oh my gosh, I messed up so bad. But then I'd go back and do it the next week. And that was what was really empowering. And I've been doing that for definitely over a year now. And now I do gigs and I do busking, which is performing on the street. And then actually it expanded to other areas of my life. I gained confidence there. And then I started gaining confidence to face other things I was afraid of. I took my daughter to an indoor rock climbing place for her birthday. And on the outside of the building, very tall building, they have like rock climbing on the outside of the building. And I always would look at that and go, I'm never going to do that. Never going to do that. I'm afraid of heights. And then we got up there so she could do it. And it was right in front of me. And I was like, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to do it. And I started doing all sorts of stuff, riding motorcycles, public speaking. And I'm kind of at the point now where I actually enjoy facing fears. For the first time in my life, I can say that even when I'm struggling, I still feel truly happy, like I'm making my own happiness. And like, I understand what that means in a practical way.
Public speaking.
public speaking was a big one.
The one thing that apparently more people are more terrified of public speaking than they are dying.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember where I read that somewhere, but yeah, that is the big one people are terrified of.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking in front of public. Yeah. They would rather die.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know so many super talented musicians who refuse to go to open mic because they don't want to get on stage in front of everybody.
I thought you were going to give us some small story about the way you overcome something at school. And then you tell us about where you go and sing in front of a load of people. It's huge. That's not just jumping out of your comfort zone. That's completely jumping out of it.
Yeah. But the thing is you know what was the worst that was going to happen? I'd get up and make a fool of myself. Who cares? I wasn't putting my life in danger or hurting anybody or.
that is the fear. It's you're going to stand up there and make a complete fool of yourself.
Yep.
And you know, the body just goes through this terrifying, whenever I speak in front of public or whenever I used to do my lives on Facebook, mm-hmm. The first, you have that initial hi, hey, everybody and all that. And then suddenly your body just goes through this fear of and suddenly your heart starts almost stops beating and you feel a bit lightheaded and you feel terrible. And then if you take a few deep breaths and overcome that, it's like everything flows after that.
Yeah.
But there's that little bit of, do you still get that?
Oh yeah, I do. I get that for a few minutes before I go on stage and I let myself feel it for a few minutes. I don't dwell on it the whole time. I wait till it's almost my turn and then I'm like, okay, I'm about to go on stage. And I just kind of, let myself feel it, just like the stuff we were talking about last week. And then I just get up there and that didn't happen overnight. It took, just like you probably didn't get comfortable in lives overnight. It took repetition. It took doing it over and over again. And it just gets easier and easier.
Okay. I'm going to put a post underneath this podcast my very first live and most recent one, and or my very first YouTube video and my most recent one, and I've often thought about going and deleting them all, but I thought I can't because it is a channel.
Yeah,
but I remember as a child when I was 5-6 years old, I used to love the song Pipes of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Paul McCartney,
I think so.
And I used to stand in front of my family and I used to pretend I was playing the piano in front of me. And I used to stand there and do all the motions and everything like that. And I had no fears. It was just natural. I used to enjoy it. It didn't matter if I messed up.
Right.
It just did not matter. Because if I messed up, it was fun. That was part of life.
Right, right.
Yeah, just like learning to walk. You didn't go, oh, I'm not going to try it again. I might fall over.
Right.
Falling over was part of the learning process. And then I cannot remember any time at school, because at school I was very conscious of girls and things like that. So everything I did was very, very aware of everybody watching me. Of course they weren't, but I thought they were. But then the only time I really remember being terrified and overcoming it, it was about 3 months after I broke my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the spinal unit, and it was about 9 months actually. And I was out of bed and I was still I was pushing my chair around the unit and all that. And I wasn't that good at doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a manual chair. It wasn't very light. And there was three of us. And we were asked to go and speak in front of a few nurses or something that come training for a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 10 days time. So I didn't have to worry about it. So I'll do that. No problem. I really wanted to do it. One of my voices was like, yeah, let's do this. It'd be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
All the other voices said, no, that's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
So the day came very, very quickly. And you imagine the three of us, none of us could push our wheelchairs properly. We were all paralyzed tetraplegics. So all of us had something wrong with our arms or hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So pushing the wheelchair was terrible.
Yeah.
We weren't able to start. We weren't able to stop properly. So all these people come into the room and we had to push ourselves into the room and turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And in our heads, it was like synchronized swimming. But it was more like, Alan would stop in front of me and I'd drive into the back of him. And then drive in the front back of Jason. And it was just a calamity. It must have been a comedy. And turning around is just, it felt like it took an hour to get in the door.
Yeah.
It was probably about 10 seconds. And then I was last or second or last, I can't remember. But we all done our little bits of a speech and said, and I said that I just wanted to come home and stop other people breaking their necks in swimming pools.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back on the spiny unit. All the relief. Oh my God, it's over.
Yeah, right.
Job done. And we convinced ourselves that we'd done the most awful job in the world.
Yeah.
I died on the first time I was on stage. and then they come around with a little bag of money for me.
Oh, wow.
Nice. And I can't remember, was it £16 or £26 or something like that? And they wanted to give me that to start my campaign to stop other people breaking their necks.
Aww.
So meanwhile, I thought I'd done a terrible, terrible job.
Yeah.
But I made a real impact on them. And
yeah.
And that's the point. We really do think that we're going to mess everything up.
Oh, yeah. I would say 85 to 90% of the time I get off stage and I think, man, I really totally just screwed that up. Totally screwed that up. That was awful. I could have done so much better. And it's the times when I feel like I did the worst is probably when I get the most positive feedback.
Isn't like, funny?
You're so unaware of how other people are perceiving you. And you're just seeing your doubts and your worries and your fears. And that's the thing. Everybody has fears. The fear's not the problem. It's how you react to that fear.
I think it's perfectly normal. At the end of every podcast, we always have the discussion, don't we? Is how did you think it went?
Yeah, yeah.
And we're not doing it so much anymore, but we kind of go, yeah, I didn't like that, Peter. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it on my lives as well. And again, it's getting less, but I'll come off my lives. And when I think I've done a real bad life, I tend to come away from the computer and like just do something else for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then I come back and I got several messages saying, oh my God, that was brilliant. That was so.
Yeah.
And it's when we let our guard down, when we start to mess up a little bit, we go, do you know what? We're messing up now. Let's just go for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think people connect to that because they're like, oh, yeah, this person's not perfect. They're human just like me. Yeah.
And we do let go like I was when I was 5 years old. You know, when I messed up, it was okay. Just carry on going.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now as adults, we go into it. And until we mess up, we're still trying to keep that perfect composure.
Oh, yeah.
So really, when you're faced with fear, I guess what we're saying is get on stage and mess up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We're a beautiful mess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like when we're little kids, we haven't developed the fear emotion yet. And we haven't developed all the insecurities that we pick up over our lifetime. And yeah. So like another, I think, key for me is like looking at it like, I'm just going to get up there and have fun. I'm just going to have fun. Who cares if it's ridiculous? I'm just going to have fun.
Well, we've got the fears that we should have.
Yeah.
You know, the fear of bears and the fear of snakes and things like that.
Yeah. So
we've got the right fears to save our lives. You know, we don't have to be frightened by a wild animal twice.
Right.
But the problem is we end up nowadays with society, we fear so much and we react in the same way. We seriously think we're going to die if we get up on stage and cough.
Yeah.
What happens if I cough in them? What happens if I have a coughing fit? You know, I don't think anybody's ever, I've picked up the phone so many times and ended up coughing. On the other end of the phone looked up and said to me, you know, do you know what? That's terrible. How can you do this? You
know? Right.
Don't care.
No, they don't.
You know? Do you know what? Sometimes overcoming fears isn't always about the big thing. And one of the big fears that I had to overcome, it was about 18 months after I came home from hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I came home in a lightweight wheelchair and it meant I could push it around my home. I could push it barely across carpet. And it meant if I had to go out, my friends or my carers or someone would have to push me. And my family and other people said, well, why didn't you get an electric wheelchair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was, I'm not doing that because that to me, I admitted defeat. I admitted I went from one disabled level to another disabled level, going into an electric wheelchair. And I was terrified that I was allowing my disability to win.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it really terrified me. And in the end, I did, clearly. We got a wheelchair, got an electric wheelchair. We had several people come down and show me theirs and all that. And I just really hated the fact of that I was going to step up and be in an electric wheelchair.
Yeah.
But the moment I had it, it just gave me this huge freedom.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I imagine that gave you a lot more independence.
Oh, massively. I could go down the bottom of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents didn't know I smoked. And we had a bowling alley at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
And I'm sure my parents thought I was a really sociable creature. It wasn't. I went out so I could have a cigarette in the evening.
Yeah.
But it gave me the independence. It gave me the ability to do it. And then I had a dogs for the disabled, golden retriever.
Oh, nice.
And he helped me out around the house, picking up things, opening and closing doors. Over the years, he must have picked up my remote control and put it on my lap 10,000 times.
Aww.
That was his main job. It would fall on the floor, and by the time it hit the floor, he was already starting to move to pick it up again.
Aww.
But it enabled me to walk Ben, enabled me to do the other things.
Yeah.
And like now, I'm on the city council. I can go down to the meetings and everything like that. Whereas I wouldn't be able to do any of that.
Yeah.
But I really thought it was about giving in to my disability. It was really that fear that, I don't know what that fear was, but it was terrifying.
Yeah. And it's like it creates a block to where you can't see, you know, how this would be good for you, how this would help you, it blocks you from seeing everything else.
And it's a completely mental block. And that's why fear is so hard to overcome.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an invisible wall that we put up.
Yeah, but that's the key. We put that wall there. We put that wall up.
Yeah. Yeah, based on society, based on beliefs, and based on the way we think we should have to show up in these things.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It is. It is when you think about it.
It is crazy. And then you got the fear of love. You know, we all had that puppy love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying to someone the other day, you know, the first time we fall in love, or the first time we're like 12, 13, and a guy or a girl shows us some attention.
Yeah.
Especially if they're a couple of years older than us and all, and they show us some attention. And it's like that feeling that comes, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like the first time you've ever had chocolate.
Yeah.
You know, wow. This is like an unbelievable rush.
Yeah.
And then we spend the rest of our lives trying to recreate that.
Yeah, trying to make it last.
We're going through the whole chocolate pack now.
Yeah.
And none of the chocolates taste as good as that first chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're looking for that until we get to the orange center, and I don't know who eats them.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then we build up this block because they then start hurting us because we're not living up to that original dream.
Yeah.
And then so many people, and I've done it for a long time, built up the walls, emotional walls, to protect myself.
Oh yeah, I've had those for a long time, because I had a hard time trusting, like really hard time. But I got to the point where I was like, well, I want people to trust me. If I want people to trust me, I have to trust them. And I, you know, just because it's not, may not work in my favor, doesn't mean I can't, you know, I shouldn't try. And I've just kind of, you know, taught myself more how to trust the right people. You know what I mean? Like,
if you want to trust, you have to trust. If you want love, you have to love.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And if you want fun, you have to overcome your fears.
Oh yeah.
Fears are good for us.
They are.
They're information.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I love about, whether it's fear, whether it's all the other emotions, they are just information.
Oh, yeah.
So why am I feeling like this right now? Yes. Well, the fear is that if I fall off this building, I'm going to be hurt, seriously.
Yeah.
That's a reasonable fear.
Oh, yeah. But that came from somewhere. That's the thing. Like those fears that are debilitating, they came from somewhere. I like to sit down and try to figure out, okay, where did this fear come from? Why do I have this fear? How long have I been impacted by this fear, and that makes me want to face it even more. Like if I'm like, oh, well, I have a fear of swimming because I almost drowned when I was a kid. That really happened. I realized, you know what? I'm letting my whole, I had let years and years and years go by, was afraid to learn to swim because I almost drowned once, twice actually. Yeah. And then I finally was like, no, I'm like, this is impact. I'm letting this impact my life because it's something that happened to me a million years ago when I was a little kid. I'm like, I'm just going to face it. And I went into camp and became a lifeguard and started teaching swimming. I was like, yeah, I kind of, when I face my fears, I go all out. But
yeah, no, I have a fear of water. I broke my neck in a swimming pool, so it's understandable.
Right.
I did have to go back to the swimming pool to watch my daughter do her life-saving exam when she was, I believe she was about 12, maybe 11, 12, maybe 10. And the swimming pool did not have a gallery, so I had to pull up alongside the swimming pool.
Yeah.
That was frightening.
Yeah.
You know, I could feel the chair slipping into the water and everything. That was quite. But I know where that fear comes from.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say.
And that's okay. I'm not going to get into a swimming pool. I know where the fear comes from. It's not debilitating because I recognize it. It's okay, and I'm not going swimming.
Yeah.
I was going to put out a challenge 3 years ago to do a TV show for me to be able to challenge myself to swim one length within 3 months.
Yeah.
And that would have been the overcoming of being near water, getting in water and swimming and in my position. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Well, I think one of the
challenges though.
Yeah, but you want to do something realistic, like start with learning how to float. That way, if you ever did fall in the water, you would know how to survive.
Yeah.
Sort of floating. You got to take off a bite that you can actually chew up. You know?
Exactly that. Yeah. Like I say, how do you eat an elephant?
Like if I had gone to a theater and performed for the first time I got on stage, I probably never would have done it again because I would have been absolutely terrified. But I went to this little dive bar where everyone was drinking and talking and not paying attention. And no one really cared if I did a great job or not. And just kept doing that until I felt more confident to go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. And it is like I just said about how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?
Yeah.
Do you know, I got a big one, and it's the one thing that most people are terrified of more than anything else.
Yeah.
Fear of death.
Oh, yeah.
Fear of dying. And on my Buddhist journey, the funny thing with that is the more and more I'm okay with the fact that I'm dying, the more I start to live.
Hmm.
It doesn't mean I go and do crazy things like wing walking without tying myself down.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean I want to die. It doesn't mean, but it means I'm absolutely okay with I'm not permanent.
Right. Yeah. That's a big thing.
And it adds an urgency to getting on with life. And
life. It does.
If I thought I was going to live to be 500, would I be getting on with my book? Would I be doing half of these things? No, I'd probably watch another Netflix series.
Mm-hmm.
And another.
Mm-hmm.
If we were going to live to be 500, we'd probably watch a lot of crap.
Yeah.
Because when we're teenagers, we do think we're going to live forever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just funny the way it's directly proportionate as the older you get, the closer you get to dying.
Mm-hmm.
The less mindless things, activities we take part in.
That's true, yeah. So I think another big fear people have that they don't even realize is a fear of success. What do you think about that?
Oh. You hit the nail on the head for me.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I told you about the way I used to go down Turbo Bar when I used to go down there for a cigarette. We all, or I believe we all do, either that or I'm mentally insane. But I have these conversations in my head. I live these dreams that I want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And for as long as I can remember, I used to make speeches of winning awards and about how inspiring I was and about how much people I help people, how much I would help people. and all those other things. And I used to have these speeches and I used to be talking to thousands of people and they used to love me and everything like that. But now you've got the platform of the internet for us to do these things. And
yeah.
Now I'm doing the lives and now I'm doing, it's becoming realistic that it might happen. Well, it will happen because I want it to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm writing my book in 26,000 words as we stand at the moment. And I want to release my book and go all over the world talking about it.
Nice.
But I have a real big fear of being famous.
Yeah.
Of, you know, having loads and loads of people. What would happen if this podcast suddenly was listened to by 10,000 people or a million people? Then what would happen if I suddenly had Ellen or Oprah Winfrey phone me up or phone you up and say, look, guys, come on the show?
Yeah.
That, just the thought of that terrifies me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I get it, yeah.
But it only terrifies one of me.
Yeah.
This is the really interesting thing. It terrifies the little Stevie in me.
Mm-hmm.
But the big ego, the big, like, hey, look at me, I'm amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not terrified. That's like, let's go for it.
Right.
So we constantly have these inner battle of voices.
Yeah.
And, you know, the 10,000 yous. You've got the soft side, the caring side. You've got the ruthless side. You've got the ego, I want to be famous side. You've got the other side, just let me fade away in the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And at any one point in time, one wins over another.
Yeah.
They never get on.
No, they're always in disagreement, aren't they?
They're always in disagreement. But all of them are designed perfectly and evolved perfectly to keep us on balance.
Yeah.
Because if we live purely from the Western egoic side, look at me, I'm great, I'm amazing, you become president of the United States. But if you always go with the humble side, you'll never get anywhere.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah,
we need all the voices.
Yeah.
They all fear each other.
Yeah.
So the quiet voice fears fame.
Mm-hmm.
And the loud, egoic voice fears not being famous.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so complicated. That's why it's... So that's why what you said is, when we dig deeper and see what the fear is.
Yeah.
Where's it coming from? What voice is it?
To me, it's like, instead of letting that voice drive, that louder voice drive what I'm going to do, I try to kind of separate it and look at it from the outside, just like with worries and anxieties. I try to do that with fears as well. Like, okay, well, this voice inside of me telling me to do this, to do this, to do this, or, you know, like, what is that voice? Where is it coming from? Why do I hear it? And then try to, that lets the others kind of come forward. It feels listened to. It had its exactly. turn. Now everyone else gets to speak.
It is. It's like you're in a room full of 100 people.
Oh, yeah.
All of them are trying to say their bit.
Yeah.
And so that's why it is so difficult.
Yeah, that's why I let myself feel nervous for a few minutes before I go on stage. Because if I just try to hold that in and ignore it, it's going to kick me when I'm up on stage and be like, I'm nervous. Don't you hear me?
I can remember an interview with Madonna years ago when you said about nervous going on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember her doing an interview and along with the dancers and all that, she goes on stage and they get into like a huddle and they'd say a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's Madonna. I'm pretty sure it was. And she said she's almost sick before going on stage. She's terrified.
Yeah.
I use the word terrified. But she said she's almost sick. You know, she's that nervous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's just one of the voices. And the point is, don't get rid of that nervous voice.
Yeah.
Don't allow one voice to become so controlling.
Yeah.
You cannot hear the other voices.
Yeah.
But don't allow that nervous voice to become so loud that it stops you doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I honestly think that like the best way to grow is by facing fears. Honestly.
It is a muscle. It's a courage muscle.
Oh, yeah. Like I had a really huge fear of heights, and I was at the beach with my daughter, and I believe we were with my ex-husband. It was a long time ago, but I used to be super, super scared of heights. So scared of heights that if we went on a hiking trail and there was like a little drop off, even if there was a railing, I was like 20 feet away. And then we were at the beach, and they had this giant Ferris wheel, and everyone wanted to go on it. And I knew it would be really, really scary, but I knew it would be safe. So I did it. And when I got to the top, I leaned over and I looked out, and it really did terrify me. But the next time I was faced with a situation where I was, you know, somewhere up high that scared me, like I felt better about it. I didn't feel, I was like, okay, well, this and this and this and this makes it safe. So it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what would your advice be to someone that fears taking the next step in their career, whether it's in career, love, spiritually?
Honestly, I think my biggest advice is to break it into manageable chunks. Do something that yes, it scares you, you're afraid of it, but it's something realistic that you can do. If you're deathly scared of spiders, don't put yourself in a room full of spiders to face your fear. Face them one at a time. One at a time. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go after that sporting giant Nike. So just do it.
Just do
really,
it. Yeah.
Really, it is. It's just absolutely just take that next step.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's the thing. Like you've got to, right before you're never going to do it. Like if you don't just say, okay, I'm going to do it, and just do it right in that moment, you have to just do it. Make the decision, just do it. It's like jumping off a high dive. I used to stand on top of the high dive and just look around and go, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this, and hesitate. And the longer I hesitated, the more chance I had that I wasn't going to do it. But if I climbed up there and just took off and didn't think about it.
At the end of the day, we just got to do it. Take the plunge, take the next step, and, you know, set the goal and learn on the way.
Yep. Yeah.
It will come to you when it needs to be.
Yeah.
And if we do it from our hearts, we can't go wrong.
Yeah.
That's really important. Whatever we do, if we do it from our hearts and show up with the intention, we cannot go wrong.
Yeah.
So where can they find you?
They can find me at susansinspirationspace.com.
And they can find me on stephenwebb.com. And thank you for joining us. What are we talking about next week?
I have no idea.
Neither am I. I reckon we should talk more about fears and talk more about
everything. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot more here that we didn't get into.
Yeah, so perhaps people could ask us questions. Perhaps people could.
That would be great. Yeah.
Go on to Flip It and Rebuild It on Facebook and ask us some questions about fears.
Yes.
And let's answer some questions. Let's go to the listeners.
That sounds great. I like that.
Okay, take care. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.